Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. In this program we have a lot of instrumental music for you from the world of Osho and some wonderful songs composed and sung by lovers of Osho. Also we have a strong discourse by Osho for you about life and death and how those two are related. Enjoy this 1 hour for yourself. Just sit back, relax, and take it all in.
Thank you.
The discourse today is from the series Ancient Music in the Pines, Lecture Number 8. Osho is talking about the relationship between life and death. In between life and death, Osho says, there flows the river of love. Life and death are given facts, but love is something that you have to manifest yourself in your own life.
First question. Can you talk about facing the death of each moment and letting go? Death is already happening, whether you face it or not. Whether you look at it or not, it is already there. It is just like breathing. When the child is born, for the first time he inhales, he breathes in. That is the beginning of life. And when he will become old and one day will die, he will exhale. Death always happens with exhalation and birth with inhalation. But exhalation and inhalation are happening continuously. With each inhalation you are born. With each exhalation you die. So the first thing to understand is that death is not somewhere in the future waiting for you, as it has been always pictured. It is part of the life. It is an ongoing process, not in the future, here now. Life and death are two aspects of existence, simultaneously together. Ordinarily, you have been taught to think death as against life. Death is not against life. Life is not possible without death. Death is the very ground on which life exists. Death and life are like two wings. The bird cannot fly with one wing. And being cannot be without death. So the first thing is a clear understanding what we mean by death. Death is absolutely a necessary process for life to be. It is not the enemy, it is the friend. And it is not there somewhere in the future, it is here now. It is not going to happen, it has been always happening. Since you have been here, it has been with you. With each exhalation it happens. A little death, a small death. Because of fear, we have put it in the future. Because the mind always tries to avoid things which it cannot comprehend. Death is one of the most incomprehensible mysteries. There are only three mysteries in life. Life, death, and love. And all these three are beyond mind. So mind takes life for granted. Then there is no need to inquire. That is a way of avoiding. You never think, you never meditate on life. You simply have accepted it, taken for granted. It is a tremendous mystery. You are alive, but don't think that you have known life. For death, mind plays another trick. It postpones it. Because to accept it here and now will be a constant worry. So the mind puts it somewhere in the future, and there is no hurry. When it will come, we will see. And for love, mind has created substitutes, which are not love. Sometimes you call your possessiveness your love. Sometimes you call your attachment your love. Sometimes you call your domination your love. These are ego games. Love has nothing to do with them. In fact, because of these games, love is not possible. Between life and death, between the two banks of life and death, flows the river of love. And that is possible only for a person who has not taken life for granted and moves deep into the quality of being alive, becomes existential, authentic. And love is for the person who accepts death here and now and does not postpone it. Then between these two, a beautiful phenomenon arises, the river of love. Life and death are like two banks. The possibility is there for the river of love to flow, but it is only a possibility. You will have to materialize it. Life and death are there. Love has to be materialized. That is the goal of being a human. Unless love materializes, you have missed. You have missed the whole point of being. Death is already happening. So don't put it in the future. If you don't put in the future, then there is no question of defending yourself. If it is already happening, and it has been already happening always, then there is no question to protect yourself against death. Death has not killed you. It has been happening and you are still alive. It is just now happening, and life is not destroyed by it. In fact, because of it, life renews itself each moment. The old leaves fall. They make a space for the new leaves to come. The old flowers disappear. The new flowers appear. One door closes, another immediately opens. Each moment you die, and each moment there is resurrection. Once a Christian missionary came to me and he asked, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ's resurrection?" I told him there is no need to go so far. Each moment, everybody is resurrected. But he could not understand. It is difficult, people who are too much in their ideology. He said, "But do you believe that he was crucified? Is not this just a myth or a reality? What do you think?" I said to him again that everybody is crucified every moment. That is the whole meaning of Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. Whether it is historical or not does not matter in the bit. It is simply irrelevant to think whether it happened or not. It is a happening. Each moment the past is crucified, the old leaves disappear. And each moment, the new being arises in you, resurrects. It is a constant miracle. The second thing to understand about death is that death is the only certainty. Everything else is uncertain. It may happen, it may not happen. Death is certain. Because in birth, half of it has already happened. The other end must be somewhere The other pole must be somewhere in the dark. You have not come across it because you are afraid. You don't move in the dark. But it is certain. With birth, death has become a certainty. Once this certainty penetrates your understanding, you are relaxed. Whenever something is absolutely certain, then there is no worry. Worry arises out of uncertainty. Watch, a man is dying and he is very much in a worry. The moment death becomes certain and the doctors say, "No, you cannot be saved," he is shocked. A shivering goes through his being. But then things settle. And immediately, all worries disappear. If the person is allowed to know that he is going to die and death is certain, with that certainty, a peace, a silence comes to his being. Every person who is dying has the right to know it. Doctors go on hiding many times, thinking that why disturb? But uncertainty disturbs, certainty never. This hanging in between, this being in the limbo, whether one is going to live or die, this is the root cause of all worry. Once it is certain that you are going to die, then there is nothing to do. Then simply one accepts it. And in that acceptance, a calmness, a tranquility. So if the person is allowed to know that he is going to die, in the moment of death, he becomes peaceful. Just watch. If I say death is certain, can't you feel within you fear disappearing? Can't you feel the very idea? And it is just an idea right now, not your experience. Just an idea that death is certain and you are calm and quiet. If you can experience it, and you can, because it is a fact. I'm not talking about theories. I don't deal in theories. This is a simple fact. Just open your eyes and watch it. And don't try to avoid it. There is no way to avoid it. In avoiding, you miss. Accept it. Embrace it. And live with the consciousness that each moment you die and each moment you are born. And allow it to happen. Don't cling to the past. It is no more. It is already gone. Why go on carrying dead things? Why be so much burdened with corpses? Drop them. And you will feel weightlessness. And you will feel unburdened. And once you drop the past, future drops on its own accord. Because future is nothing but a projection of the past. In the past, you had some pleasures. Now the mind projects those same pleasures in the future. In the past, you had some sufferings. Now the mind projects a future in which those sufferings are not allowed to happen. That's what your future is. What else your future is? Pleasures that you enjoyed in the past are projected. Miseries dropped. A modified future. More colorful past, a modified past, painted, repainted, renovated. But it is the past. Once the past drops, suddenly the future drops. And then you are left here and now. Then you are in existence. You are existential. And that is the only way to be. All other ways are just to avoid life. And the more you avoid life, the more you become afraid of death. A person who is really living is not in any way afraid of death. If you are rightly living, you are finished with death. You are already too much grateful, fulfilled. But if you have not lived, then the constant worry continues that I have not lived yet and death is coming. And death will stop all. And with death, there will be no future. So one becomes apprehensive, afraid, and tries to avoid death. In trying that, in avoiding death, one goes on missing life. Forget about that avoidance. Live life. In living life, death is avoided. In living life, you become so fulfilled that if this very moment death comes and the future stops, you will be ready. You will be happily ready. You have lived your life. You have delighted in existence. You celebrated it. You are contented. There is no complaint, no grumbling. You don't have any grudge. You welcome death. And unless you can welcome death, one thing is certain, that you have not lived. In the West now, there is a craze how to prolong life. That simply shows that somewhere life is being missed. Whenever a country or a culture starts thinking how to prolong life, it simply shows one thing, that life is not being lived. If you live life, then even a single moment is enough. A single moment can be equal to eternity. It is not a question of length, it is a question of depth. It is not a question of quantity, it is a question of quality. This is the difference between the scientific attitude towards life and the religious attitude. The scientific attitude is concerned with prolongation, how to prolong life. It is not concerned with significance. So you can find in the hospitals, particularly in the West, old people just hanging. They want to die, but the culture won't allow them. They are fed up with just being alive. They are simply vegetating. No significance, no meaning, no poetry. Everything has disappeared. They are burdened to themselves. They are asking for euthanasia. But the society does not allow. The society is so much afraid of death that it does not allow even people who are ready to die. The very word death is a taboo word. More taboo than sex. Sex has become almost accepted by and by. Now death also needs a fried to make it accepted, so that it is no more a taboo and people can talk about it. and people can share their experiences about it. And there is no need to hide it. And there is no need to force people to live against themselves. In hospitals, in old people's homes, people are simply hanging. Because the society, the culture, the law won't allow them. And if they ask that they should be allowed to die, it looks like as if they are asking for suicide. They are not asking for suicide. In fact, they have become dead corpses. They are living suicide. They are asking to get rid of it. Because the length is not the meaning. How long you live is not the point. How deep you live, how intensely you live, how totally you live, the quality. Science is concerned about quantity. Religion is concerned about quality. Religion is concerned with the art of how to live life and how to die life. Seven years, 70 years, or 700 years. What difference it will make? You will go on repeating the same vicious circle. Again and again and again. You will simply get more and more bored. So change the focus of your being. Learn how to live each moment and learn how to die each moment, because both are together. If you know how to die each moment, you will be able to live each moment, fresh, young, virgin. Die to the past. Don't allow it to interfere your present. The moment you have passed from it, let it be no more there. It is no more there, only in your memory it goes on. It is just a remembrance. Let this remembrance also be released. This psychological hang-up should not be allowed. I am not saying that you forget everything that you know. I am not saying that all memory is bad. It has technical uses. You have to know how to drive. You have to know where your home is. You have to recognize your wife and your children. But those are not psychological hang-ups. When you come home, of course, you recognize that she is your wife. This is factual memory. Useful. Enhances life. Facilitates it. But if you come home and you look at your wife, and with all the past experiences with the wife, then that is a psychological hang-up. Yesterday she was angry. Now again you look with that memory in between. Your eyes clouded by that memory. The day before yesterday she was sad. Or was nasty and nagging. Now if you look through all these psychological impressions, then you are not looking at the woman who is right now standing in front of you. You are looking at someone who is not there. You are seeing someone who does not exist. You are looking at a ghost. She is not your wife. And she may also be looking in the same way. So ghosts meet and realities remain separate. Ghosts are married and realities are divorced. Then these two ghosts will make love. these two ghosts will fight, quarrel, and do thousand and one things, and the realities will be far, far away. There will be no contact. Realities will not have any connection. And then there can be no communication. There can be no dialogue. Only realities can love. Ghosts can only make impotent gestures, movements, but no life in them. Drop the past each moment. Remember to drop it. Just as you clean your house every morning, every moment clean your inner house of the past. All psychological memories have to be dropped. Just factual things. And your mind will be very, very clean and clear. Don't move ahead of yourself in future, because that is not possible to do. Future remains unknown. That is its beauty. That's its grandeur, glory. If it becomes known, it will be useless, because then the whole excitement and the whole surprise will be lost. Don't expect anything in the future. Don't corrupt it. Because all your expectation, if fulfilled, then too will make you miserable. Because it is your expectation unfulfilled. You will not be happy about it. Happiness is possible only through surprise. Happiness is possible only when something happens which you had never expected. When something takes you completely unawares. If your expectations are fulfilled 100%, you will be living as if in the past, not in the future. You come home and you expected your wife to say something and she says. And you expected your child to behave in a certain way and the child behaves. Just think, you will be constantly in boredom. Nothing will happen. Everything will be just a repetition, as if you are seeing something which you have seen before, hearing something which you have heard before. Continuously you will see it as a repetition of something. And repetition can never be satisfying. New, the novel, the original is needed. So if your expectations are fulfilled, you will remain completely unfulfilled. And if your expectations are not fulfilled, then you feel frustrated. Then you feel constantly as if you propose and God goes on disposing. You feel the God as the enemy. You feel as if everybody is against you and everybody is working against you. Your expectations are never fulfilled. You feel frustrated. Just meditate upon your expectations. If they are fulfilled, you will feel bored. If they are not fulfilled, you will feel cheated. As if a conspiracy is going on against you. The whole existence conspiring against you. You will feel exploited. You will feel rejected. You will not be able to feel at home. And the whole problem arises because you expect. Don't go ahead in the future. Drop expectations. Once you drop expectations, you have learned how to live. Then everything that happens fulfills you. Whatsoever it is. You never feel frustrated, one thing. Because in the first place, you never expected. So frustration is impossible. Frustration is a shadow of expectation. Expectation dropped, frustration drops on its own accord. You cannot frustrate me because I never expect anything. Whatsoever you do, I will say good. I always say good except only few times when I say very good. Once expectations are not there, you are free to move into the unknown and accept the unknown, whatsoever it brings, and accept it with deep gratitude. Complaints disappear, grumbling disappears. Whatsoever the situation, you always feel accepted at home. Nobody is against you. Existence is not a conspiracy against you. It is your home. Second, and everything happens unexpected. Everything becomes new. It brings freshness in your life. A fresh breeze continuously blowing. It does not allow dust to gather on you. Your doors and your windows are open. Comes sunshine, comes the breeze, comes the fragrance of the flowers, and everything unexpected. And you had never asked, and existence goes on sovereign on you. One feels God is. The proposition God is not a proposition. It is a statement of someone who has lived unexpectedly, without any expectations, who has lived in wonder. God is not a logical hypothesis. It is an exclamation of joy. It is just like, aha. It doesn't mean anything more. It simply means, aha. So beautiful, so wonderful, so new, so novel, and beyond anything that you could have dreamt. Yes. Life is more adventurous than any adventure that you can imagine. And life is pregnant, always pregnant with the unknown. Once you expect, everything is destroyed. Drop the past, that is the way of how to die each moment. Never plan for the future. That is the way how to allow life to flow through you. And then you remain in an unfrozen state flowing. This is what I call a sannyasin, with no past, with no future. Just at this moment, alive, intensely alive, a flame burning from both the ends, a torch burning from both the ends. And this is what let go is.
This is almost the end of today's program. You listen to satsang music from Rajneeshpuram called The Original Man. Then there was the song Letting Go Into the Mystery and Miten sung just before the discourse, Pure Love. After the discourse, you heard a number from the CD Gurdjieff Dances, Crystallization. The instrumental music after that was Water Song from the CD Chuang Tzu's Dream. We hope you enjoyed the program. Tell your friends about Osho Radio and come back next time. The last song today is by Narayani and it is called Let Go. For now, I say namaste to you all. Let go.